Yeah, no problem.
Thanks, Derek. That was great. Yeah. I was just going to talk a little bit about flying the airplane. We had it going, and we had a friend of mine, Dennis Sanders, did the test flights on it and got it going. We did have several problems getting it going. The propeller would not change speeds from high propeller to low propeller, and just various little things, but little things turn into days of delay. But we finally did get it going, and we brought it back to from Wichita to Kenosha. And anyway, I got checked out by Dennis in the airplane, and it flies, to use a friend's expression, if you put wings on a Winnebago, that's what it flies like. So it really is kind of a lumpy old thing. You have to push real hard and wait for something to happen, and it does respond, and it does finally go where you want it to go. Whenever I fly it, I try and go in the water with it. I like to fly airplanes in the water, and when I land in the water, I generally try to full stall the airplane so it goes into the water at the lowest possible speed. And it's just a lady like you can't believe. It'll step turn very easily, so I put it on the step. If I get in the water, I can do a 360 on the step and hardly get the floats wet. The airplane has a water rudder, kind of a unique thing, where on the tail, both of the sides flip out independently, and there's a handle in the cockpit to engage the water rudder. So after you land in the water, we engage the water rudder, and I can maneuver it very nicely. Coming out of the water, there's none of the work that you have to do with the other amphibians trying to keep the prop out of the water, just because the prop is pretty well out of the water on this thing. And you just put the power in, and it comes right out of the water, comes on the step readily, and runs on the step for probably a quarter mile, and then out she comes. And then it climbs kind of sluggish. 500, 700 feet a minute is the best I can get out of it. At about 80 miles an hour, the airspeed's in miles an hour. The airplane is pretty nice on the runway. When I land, it tracks pretty well, and surprisingly is very easy to handle with a crosswind. I guess it's got a huge amount of aileron, and as long as you keep the aileron into the wind, it seems to not track off the center line too badly. And anyway, that seemed to work out. Everybody said what was the biggest hurdle in building the airplane. And as I recall, the wheels and brakes were what really we just didn't know what to do with. We had new brakes, and we had one wheel that was serviceable, but we couldn't get tires. Just nobody, and I called the tire manufacturer. I says, I'll buy 100 of them. All I need is one tire. They said, no, there is no such thing as a tire for this airplane. So anyway, we found a jet wheel, and we bought the tires. These are jet tires on this thing, and we've made them look pretty much like the authentic wheel. We had to deviate, but the guys that I had talked to who flew with the original brakes didn't like them very well anyway. They would go in the water and get wet, and then they'd come back on the land and they wouldn't work. So we modified the brake from a Mallard brake. I had to build new calipers for it. And what we have is a pretty serviceable wheel and brake. Difficulty is it's a little heavier than the original brake. Probably the most difficult thing in flying the airplane is getting the wheels up. When you take off, bring the gear up is a hand crank operation, and it's probably about 50 turns, and it is really, really hard. It just takes all the strength I have. I really congratulate these guys in World War II, these young kids. They must have had much stronger right arms than I do, but they got those gear up, and I'm really working to get the gear up on the thing. But I've done it, and we've done it hundreds of times now, and it just seems to get over it. But it does take like 5 minutes for me to get the gear up from the time we get started. One of the most frequent questions I get is, what is that wire across the leading edge on the top wing? And it's very interesting. That wire starts at the tip there, and it reaches in, goes up around the top of the wing, and there's a bungee cord holding it there. So what would happen, a pilot would bring the airplane into the dock, and he would stand in the cockpit and release the bungee cords, and then the wires would come down, and he would have a guy on the dock who would catch the wire and be able to moor the airplane or handle it on the dock without getting wet. So that was kind of an interesting thing. Sam, I see you getting up. We want to open this up for questions.
Is this thing on? Yeah, it's still on.
Yeah.
Actually, I stood up because my back hurt.
Oh,
okay. But it probably would be a good time that we can open it up for questions. All right. Let me bring the mic to you, sir. One question I have, Bill, was what is your approach speed on it?
I usually approach about 85 miles an hour for both the water and the land.
You mentioned that that engine is unique to that plane. What is the differences that make it unique?
Well, the 1820 engine is generally, or in 99% of the cases, a geared engine, and it has a 50 spline propeller. And this particular engine's a direct drive engine. So this is 790 horsepower. And the same 1820 engine in its more refined power is like 1525 horsepower. And what they're doing is running the engine at a much higher RPM with the gear reduction. So the prop and the spline are 40 spline, and it's direct drive. It runs at 2300 RPM, not very fast. And so it's a very different engine. 790 horsepower, yeah.
Yeah, one thing, Bill, you mentioned in there, or someone in that just about to having problems with the prop. Now, it's not a constant speed prop, is it?
No, it's a two-speed prop. So it's got a takeoff and landing position, and then we shift it into low prop, and it does a cruise position. And it'll cruise at 1,600 RPM with about 28 inches of manifold pressure. And then that would be the normal cruise.
I heard you fly the plane with a rag in your pocket. Can you explain that?
Yes, thanks, Terrace. The engine tends to spit oil. And anyway, what you do is if you go on a long cross country, you have to actually reach up around the windshield and wipe the oil off the windshield before you land to be able to. Now let me tell you that the biggest problem flying this airplane is you just can't see. The only thing that you see is the just out of a little corner, and even at cruise, I'm fishtailing in order to be able to see ahead of me. If I get down low where there's towers, I have to absolutely keep fishtailing in the pattern, the traffic pattern. I'm always looking for other airplanes and fishtailing. And then when you're on final, you do not see the runway. You set up and look for it. You make a sweeping turn towards the runway, and you look out the side, and then the runway disappears. and you just have to have faith that it's going to appear. And then all of a sudden, you start to see the sides of the runway on both sides, and you begin your flare, and boom, boom, it's down.
Any more questions? Yes, sir.
Just as an aside, the war was over, and that center pontoon was great for busting haystacks when no one was around.
Yeah, there's an interesting story goes with this hull. When we were trying to accumulate parts for the airplane, we were looking for a hull. This was pretty badly damaged, and we needed some components for it. So a guy called me, and he had a museum somewhere in Kentucky or something, and he says, listen, I have a hull for a duck. Would you like to buy it? So anyway, I negotiate. I always negotiate. And what they had done is there was a duck somewhere, and the airplane was scrapped, but they kept the hull, and they put a trailer hitch on the back end of the hull, and this guy used it for a fishing boat. He would wind the gear down because the gear was operational. He'd put the trailer hitch on the back of his car, stuck an outboard motor through a hole in the hull, and he went fishing. And then he'd bring it back, put the gear back down, pull his motor out, attach it to his truck, and back he'd go. Well, anyway, this hull was sitting back next to this guy's hangar, and it had been there for more years than he, and I don't think it was his hull at all, but anyway, he sold it to me, said it was. And that's the hull that you're looking at here for the most part. I mean, we took a lot of components out of it, yeah.